Welcome to GemaraMarkings.com, your roadmap to the Talmud Bavli. We highly recommend printing out the PDF of the DAF with the markings, or better yet, emailing us to obtain your own copy of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. If this is your first time visiting the site, we highly recommend clicking on the links to view the sample markings, as well as to hear a brief 4-minute audio explanation of the Shas Ozer pre-marked Gemara edition. Enjoy your shiur.
Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be beginning from the bottom of Kuf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. The Gemara will open up today with a Brisa, Tanaic source. As you can see, it is in a frame, as is customary in our marking system. All Tanaic sources we put in frames. It goes till the top of Kuf Lamed Dalet Amud Aleph. The source also contains another one of our geometric forms, series indicators, in this case a double underline. The double underline was referred to in the previous shiur. It's featuring, highlighting the expression of Shalo Hoyu Bonav Noihagim Kashura. In the previous discussion, we saw a Mishnah, previous shiur that is, we saw a Mishnah that spoke about a father who cuts his son out of inheritance because of behavior that was not acceptable. The term used is Lo hoyu bonav noyagim kashura. The source that we open up with begins with an incident like that. On the outside margin, we feature a topic heading, another one of the features of the marked Gemara edition, Maisa im Yonason ben Uziel. We've written on the outside margin that this source presents an incident involving the great Yonason ben Uziel, who the Gemara will tell us later on in another brisa was a student of Hillel HaZaken. He's also famous for providing an Aramaic translation and explanation of the Tanakh. So there was an incident involving him, the Echad Mibonov Shelo Noha Kashura, with a person, one of whose sons was not behaving properly. And that father assigned his property to Yonason ben Uziel. We turn to the Gemara text now. Tana Rabbanan, Maisa be'odom echad, shelo hoyu bonav nohagim kashura. For the sake of accuracy, let us just correct our introduction. Should really say that the individual had sons that none of whom were behaving properly. And as a result of his displeasure with his sons that were not behaving properly, he arose and assigned all of his property, Omad Vikosav, Nechosav, Leonusen Ben Uziel. This father went and assigned all his property to Yonason ben Uziel. Ma also Yonason ben Uziel, after having received this gift from the father, Mochar Shlish, he went and sold a third of the properties, the Hikdish Shlish, sanctified a third of them to the Beis HaMikdash, the Hichsish Levonov Shlish, and returned a third of the properties, or granted a third of the properties to this man's sons. Bo olov Shammai b'maklo v'tarmiloi. Shammai HaZaken, also a contemporary figure, the famous Shammai of Hillel and Shammai fame, approached Yonason ben Uziel. The expression literally is with his walking stick and his backpack. But the Rashbam explains he came to argue with him. And he's coming to argue based on the idea that, in Shammai's opinion, Yonason ben Uziel was over, violated Divrei Hameis, violated the intention of the father who was about to die. In what sense did he violate this father's intention? In the fact that he returned to this man's sons a third of the property. Omarlei. So Yonason ben Uziel responds to Shammai, who came and argued what we just said. Yonason responds, Shammai, im ato yochol lahoitzi es ma shemocharti uma shehigdashti, if you have the legal power to undo my sale, the sale that I made, the sale that I made had nothing to do with the father's intention. The father would have been very happy that I received his properties and sold it off. If you can undo that sale, uma shehigdashti, and that which I sanctified to the Beis HaMikdash, ato yochol lahoitzi ma shehigzarti, then, okay, then you can undo my return to the children, that aspect as well. Im lav, however, if you cannot undo the sale and the hegdish that I did, which he cannot undo, that's a given in this argument, I atal yochol lahotzi ma shechzarti, you cannot undo that act either, the act of my having returned properties to his sons. Upon hearing that, Shammai realized that he was vanquished in this particular argument. He was defeated. Omar, so Shammai responded, Hitiach olai ben Uziel. Hitiach olai ben Uziel. The Rashbam mentions that this is an expression of, you answered me, true that you answered me, but and you answered me in a bizoyon type fashion, in sort of an offhanded way. That was the way Shammai took it, but it's pretty clear that Shammai is acknowledging his defeat in this argument. The question is, what was Shammai's intention? What was his havamina in trying to question Yonason ben Uziel's behavior? V'hu savar mishum maisa de beis choyroin. Shammai was under the sway, under the influence, if you will, of an incident that took place in a place called Beis Choron. The following Tanaic source will explain it in detail. And in that particular incident, we saw a matana that the receiver tried to do something that was not along the lines, not along the intentions of the giver, and the matana was declared to be a non-matana. So based on that idea, here too you have a receiver that did something that might not have been in the spirit of the intentions of the giver, and as a result of the case in Beis Choron, Shammai felt that in this case too, involving Yonason ben Uziel, the matana should have been undone. Our job will be to learn the case of the Maisa de Beis Choron and to point out the difference between the cases, and hence being able to understand why Shammai erred, let's say, in his attempt to question Yonason ben Uziel. So first we'll learn the source with the story. Disnan, Maisa beveis choron be'echot shoya oviv mudar heimenu hano. An incident took place in that location, Beis Choron, where there was a father that was prevented through the strength of a vow of not receiving benefit from his son. V'hoyamasi beno. And the son was marrying off a child. In other words, you have a situation where the grandfather will not be able to attend the wedding of his grandson. The Omar Lechavero, the father of the groom, who was upset about this situation and wanted his father to attend the wedding, but at the same time realized that the father, if he attends the wedding and sits and eats the meal, it'll be a problem because the meal being owned by his son, and his son prevented through a neder his father from benefiting from the son's possessions, the father will not be able to benefit from that particular meal and hence not participate in his grandson's wedding. So the father does the following. We've provided in this source a series of triangles that are going to be appearing in flipping up and down direction. This is explained on the side as a ma'akav. When the triangle point is up, we'll have the initial attempt of the father of the groom to see how to solve this case, to enable his father to attend the wedding. And then when the triangle flips down, we'll see the response of the receiver of the gift. The source goes on. V'omar lechavero, the father of the groom, says, Hare chotzer u'se'udo nesunim loch b'matona, v'einon lefonecha ele kedei shiyovoi abo v'yoichal imonu b'se'udo. I'm giving you the chotzer, we'll call it the hall that was owned by the father of the groom. I'm giving you, my friend, possession of the chotzer and the meal as a gift, and they are for you with the express purpose of enabling my father to come and participate in the meal. How will that be allowed? Because at the point that the chotzer and the seuda are given to this friend, they're no longer considered the possession of the son, and hence the issue of benefiting from the son's property will not pose a difficulty for the father, and hence that father, namely grandfather, will be able to attend his grandson's wedding. Omar lo, so the receiver of the gift, notice how the triangle flips over, so we can keep track of the back and forth. The receiver says, Im shelihein, if the gift you're giving me is truly mine, harehein mukdashim hashamayim, I'm declaring all of it sanctified to the temple. And sanctified temple, so that no one can benefit from it. It'll be usur as hektish, involving a violation of mi'ila, if one benefits. Omar lo, so the father of the groom says back, lo nasati loch es sheli shetagdishem l'shamayim. I didn't give you all of this, the chotzer and the meal, in order for you to donate it, dedicate it to the temple fund. Omar lo, so the receiver says, lo nasata li es shelcha, Elo shetehe ato v'yavicha oichlin v'shoysin umeratzin ze lo ze v'yei avoin talui b'roishoi. He says back to him sarcastically, with the truth too, he says, you've given this to me with the sole intention of you and your father having the meal together and appeasing one another, and the avera of Nidorim will be on my head. The Rashbam explains underneath the Gemara text on the first wide line, V'avon talui sha'al yodi she'ani mekabel maton shelcha, that through that which I am receiving your supposed gift, v'eino matona, and it's not a real matona. How is it not a real matona? We see that his hands are tied. He wasn't able to be makdish it according to the will of the giver. And if I can't be makdishit, so it's not a matana, as the source will say momentarily. Nimseisem choitim v'nehene ze mishel ze, as a result of it being a non-official gift, a non-binding gift, then you and your father will sit there and be eating a meal of sin, so to speak, because of the neder that will still be applicable. The neder can only be circumvented if the son is no longer the owner of the meal. But if I'm not going to be the owner of it, so it remains in the reshus of the son, and the father is not allowed to benefit from it, the koavrisu alo yachel, and you'll be violating the isser of lo yachel es devaro, not to desecrate one's words, not to violate one's words. In this case, violation of a neder is under that prohibition. The source continues, Omru Chachomim, Kol Matana, She'eno, She'im Higdisha Mugdeshes, Eino Matana. Any gift that's given that the receiver would not be able to dedicate it to Shamayim if he should so desire, it's not going to be considered a Matana. Let us take a look at the Rashbam,
the second wide line under the Gemara Hochi Garzin Armu Chachamim Kol Matana She'ena She'im Egdisha Mugdeshes Eino Matana Klomar Kol Matana She'ein Din Ze Noyheg Bo She'tei Mugdeshes Im Egdisha. Any gift upon receipt, if the receiver cannot sanctify it, Eino Matana, and it's not a gift, it's not considered a gift at all. Hoyol V'gila Daito, since the giver revealed his intention, She'al Menas Kein Nosna Lo She'lo Yagdishena. Because the giver expressed, I'm giving it to you on condition that you don't sanctify it. Likewise, with the story we saw before with the father whose sons went off, misbehaved, and he assigned his property to Yonasan. Kivan shelohoya beno noe kishuro, almanas shelo yachsir lebonav nosan lo. It also had this similar issue attached to it, namely, I'm giving it to you, Yehoi Nosan, in order that you do not give it to my sons. The Oynosan Savar Kivan Destama Yohav, and this is a central point the Rashbam is now bringing out, and Yehoi Nosan felt, since it was given without an expressed clause, Havio Matona Lasos Bo Kechol Asher Yachpots. And as we mentioned before, we have to emphasize the point of difference between the case of Yehoi Nosan and the case of Matnas Beis Charan, and that's exactly what the Rashbam just explained. Namely, in the case of the Matnas Beis Charan, the giver expressed his restriction in the initial giving of the gift. And I think that you can see this pretty clearly in the text of the Maaseh Beis Charan with the dashed underlined section, where it said, V'einon lifonecho elo kidei shiyovo abo v'yochal imonu basuda. There was an expressed restrictive clause in the initial giving of the matana. In the case of Yehonasan ben Uziel receiving a matana from a disappointed father, the father simply gave him all his property. There was no expressed restrictive clause in that particular gift. As a result of that, Yehoi Nosan was able to do with it whatever he wanted. In order to emphasize this point with the Rashbam, let us take a look at a piece of Rashbam a little bit earlier, at the very last line of Kuf Lamed Gimel Omid Beis. The Rashbam says at the beginning of the line, the last line, V'shamai hoyotoye b'maise de Beis Choron. Shamai, in his arguing with Yonasan, was erring based on the incident of Beis Choron de la Kamon, de Ka'omar. In the Matnas Beis Choron, it said, Lo nosati loch et sheli amanas shetakdisham l'shamayim. We saw there that the receiver said, the giver said that I did not give you this gift on condition that you would sanctify it. The Omur Chachomim, the Lo Havya Matana. And the Chachomim, in the case of the Matnas Beis Choron, ruled, because of this inability to sanctify it, it's not a gift. Hoyol V'Ovar Al Das Hanoisein. Since by sanctifying it, he is violating the intention of the giver. V'gama Hegdish Lo Chal. And the sanctification also is not going to take effect. The Hochinami, the Rashbam is explaining Shammai's mistake. He continues explaining his Kavona, Shammai's Kavona. V'hochanami, kevon she'avris al divrei hames, since you, Yonasan ben Uziel, gave back a third of the property to the wayward sons, thereby violating the intention of the father who just passed away. Hamatona eino matona, v'chazora eino chazora, that which you received is not considered a receipt, and your giving back to them is not considered a legitimate act. Ki hasam, the matana betela v'gama hegdish lo nitfas. Just like in the case of the Matnas Beis Choron, that we said that the matana was void and the hegdish doesn't take hold. Umihu lo damu. And this is what we want to emphasize. However, the cases are not parallel. The Hosam Porish Lei Behedya, in the Matnas Beis Choron case, it was said explicitly, V'einon Lefanecha El Amanas Shiyovo Abba V'yochabo. That was the phrase that we dashed underlined in the source, so that the initial giving of the gift was done with a restrictive clause. Abol Hocha Stama Koyohiv Lei V'yoynasan. In the case of the disappointed father, the gift was given without any restrictive clause. Velo piresh al manaz shetene bohen ato velo bonai. It did not say that it's on condition that you should enjoy it and not my sons. Hilkoch legamri yoyev le lasis bo kiritzono. Therefore, the case of involving Yosef ben Uziel, it was given without any restriction. V'hainu dekomale kashem shi ato yocho lahachzir masha mocharti. And that's what Yonason's response to Shammai was, just like you cannot undo that which I gave, because that certainly you would approve of, so too you cannot undo that which I return to the sons. As far as the Rashbam is concerned, we will pause at this point. Let's turn back to the Gemara. As a result of the mentioning of Yonason ben Uziel, it seems that the Gemara wants to give us some more information concerning Yonason ben Uziel and his contemporaries. His contemporaries being students of the famous Hillel HaZaken. We have a source here, which is in a frame, as you can see, and goes till the Mishnah. The same source, by the way, is found in Maseches Sukkah, Daf Chof Ches Amud Aleph. The reason for our mentioning that is that in going through the sugya here, we have the Rashbam commentary available, and the Rabbeinu Gershom as well. In Maseches Sukkah, you have Rashi that explains the Gemara there. So, when we will be exposed to a number of details in this particular source, some of which are explained by the Rashbam in a way that Rashi there does not explain, and vice versa. Tana Rabbanan, Shmoinim Talmidim Hoyu Loi LeHillel HaZaken. Hillel had 80 Talmidim. Shloshim, we've underlined Shloshim, we've underlined some numbers here, and also used some lettering, Aleph, Beis, and Gimel, indicating three groups of Talmidim that are featured. Shloshim Ehem Ruyim Shetashre Alehem Shechina Kemoshe Rabbeinu. Something that's absolutely amazing. There are 30 of his Talmidim were of spiritual heights that would have enabled them to experience a divine presence similar to that of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu being the example par excellence of a human being who reached the maximum heights that a human being could possibly achieve. And this source is telling us that Hillel HaZaken had 30 Talmidim that could have experienced this level of divine experience. Shloshim mehen ruyim shetamoid lahen chamok Yeshua bin Nun. 30 other Talmidim of his were classified as having the merit to have the rules of nature change in their zchus, in their merit, like that which took place in the time of Yeshua ben Nun, where the sun stood still. Esrim Beinonim. And the third group of Talmidim, 20 of which are considered Beinonim. This expression is very difficult to translate in light of the description that we'll see as the source continues. It might be understood, though, at least in the context of the source, that this group was of a lesser nature than the first two groups. Godol Shebekulan, Yonason ben Uziel. According to the Rabbeinu Gershom, the reference to Shebekulan, it says the greatest of all of them, it means the greatest of this third category, of the Beinonim. The greatest of them, of the Beinonim, was Yonason ben Uziel. we've dashed, underlined his name because the feeling is that the presence of this particular source here in Bava Basra is because it's coming on the heels of a story that involved Yonus and Ben Uziel. So of this last group, the greatest of them was Yonus and Ben Uziel, Katan Shebekulan, Rabbon Yoichanan Ben Zakkai. It's noteworthy that Rabbi Yochanan Ben Zakkai, in the generation following Hillel HaZakein, became the leader of Klal Yisrael. The Gemara in Ksubis, approximately Daf Kuf Gimel, describes the passing of another Jewish leader a few generations later, Rabbi Yehuda Hanossi, sometimes known as Rabbi Judah the Prince. Upon his death, he appointed a couple of his sons to take over the positions that he occupied. In the case of Rebbe, known as Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi, known as Rebbe, he was one person that fulfilled different roles. Rosh Yeshiva, Nossi, Chochom. In giving out the roles of succession, it's noteworthy that Rebbe did not choose the greatest of his sons in terms of scholarship to be the leader. One can surmise that which we often refer to as leadership qualities are a special facet of man that is not necessarily directly related to supreme scholarship. Not to be misunderstood for a second, the leader that was appointed by Rebbe, that particular son, was himself a great scholar. But in terms of the foremost scholar, that he was not. In other words, there were those greater than he in terms of scholarship. It's interesting to note that in the case of David HaMelech as well, the Gemara in Brochus in the first Perek shows that there were people in David HaMelech's time that were of greater scholarship than he was, even though David is listed amongst the greatest of our people, and certainly himself was a noted Talmudic scholar, as the Gemara in Brochus itself testifies to. However, there were greater. So too over here, the fact that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is classified as the least of his Talmidim, of Hillel's Talmidim, doesn't necessarily interfere or cause difficulty in understanding how it is that he became the leader of the subsequent generation. All that having been said, we said these things to put certain things in perspective. It was said about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, Omru alav al Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai, Shelo hiniach. He did not leave. In other words, he occupied himself with the following. It's a very long list of items. The list itself lasts approximately three lines of this Gemara, of this text. And it says here that he did not leave, meaning he occupied himself with Mikra, Mishnah. Mikra is the written Torah, the Tanakh. Mishnah, as we know, Mishnayos, Gemara. The Rashbam explains that Gemara is Svaras HaMishnayos. It's the explanation of the Mishnayos, just like we, when learning Gemara, explain the Mishnayos. You'll find often the Gemara qualifies. The Mishnah is said, Lo Shanu Ela, its Mishnah is stated only under these particular circumstances. Or the Gemara uses expressions like Chisure Mechasra, that the Mishnah is itself lacking in text in the sense that it's vague. It was deliberately left vague by Rebbe, and you have to read in more words. I'm not suggesting textual change, but rather read in words for the purpose of understanding, and that's what the role of the Gemara is primarily, as the Rashbam indicates. What else did Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lo hiniach? What else did he not leave by? Halachas. Halachas, the Meforshim explain, are Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Furthermore, what else did he involve himself with? Agodos. The Rashbam explains that those are midrashim on the psukim. For example, the Medrash Tanchuma, the Medrash that we have as the Bracious Rabbo or Vayikra Rabbo. That's what the Rashbam mentions here. Of course, it's also noteworthy that when one talks about the Gemara, it was studied by Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai, someone might ask, how could that be? The Gemara is compiled later than the era in which Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai lived. And certainly the Midrashim, known as Bracious Rabbah, the answer to that is that which is in textual form existed in oral form already way before in time. So that we have Gemara discussions and assign names to those Gemara discussions, like Abaye and Rava, which they'll be mentioned in a few minutes. It doesn't mean that Abaye and Rava were the first ones to raise those particular questions. Those were issues dealt with by scholars generations before as well. It's just noteworthy, and it's mentioned here in the Rashbam, that those issues that appear vague in the Gemara were actually clarified in the earlier generations. In the course of time, things became vague as a result of all different types of situations that the Jewish people encountered, as the Gemara itself mentions regarding the Talmidim of Hillel and Shammai, Shelo Shimshu es Rabban Kol Tzorchem. Let's continue in the list of things that Rabban Yochanan ben Zakkai had his expertise in. Dikduke Torah. The Rashbam cites as an example of that a vav, for example, or a letter that's darshaned, and from the letter, from an extra, what appears to be an extra letter in a particular pasuk, an entire halacha is derived. So that's dikdukei Torah. Dikdukei Sofrim, according to the Rashbam, are gezeros chachamim. They're rules that the sages enacted in order to prevent people from violating Torah law. We call them fences in halacha. V'kalin v'chamurin, sometimes known as, or this is the plural of the well-known expression, kal v'chomer. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai knew how to darshan kal v'chomer, which is something one can do on his own. Ugzeros shavos, he was also familiar with word comparisons, or topic comparisons, that is something a person needs to have a tradition on. And he knew those traditions. Utkufos. Tkufos, the Rashbam says, Moilet Halavona, the knowledge of the lunar cycle, which is the basis of declaring when a new month is to set in. And as a result of the resolution of the lunar cycle, together with the solar phenomenon, as is featured in the earlier part of Maseches Sanhedrin, that we thereby establish the calendar and when the different holidays are to fall out. What else did he know? Gematrios, the Rashbam cites an example, Kigoin Anochi. The first word of the Aseres HaDibros, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, forms an abbreviation. Ano Nafshi Kasvis Yahavis. I myself wrote and gave. A reference to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he is the author of the Torah, and he is the one that gave the Torah. Notice in our Rashbam, we've squiggled underlined the first letter of those four words, so that you can see it spells out Onochi. Going back to the source, the Gemara text, Umisholos Kofsin, Umisholos Shualim. The Shalos word, Moshal. This is an ability that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai had was to convey messages to the tzibur by using parables. Parables including stories about washmen and stories involving foxes. The Gemara mentions such a Gemara, and Rashi in Masechah Sanhedrin features Rabbi Meir as having given Mishalim in his shiurim. Even a certain percentage of his shiur was dedicated to that, giving over Musar and Torah concepts through these means. Sichas Shedim. Another thing that Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was familiar with was the ability to control demons. The Rashbam says, Rashbiam, to bind demons by oath. V'nafkamina lasois kemeil refuah. And the benefit in dealing with them is found in the realm of creating amulets for the purpose of healing. Sichas Dikolim. The Rashbam says something very interesting. He says, Sichas Dikolim, Shebnei Odom Regilim Ledaber Al Hadikolim. People were accustomed to speak on trees, regarding trees, Kidichtiv Bishlomo Vayadaber Al Ha'etzim. The Rabbeinu Gershom offers a commentary, Sichas Dikolim, Shoya Yodea Luchoish. Dovar shetismale hasode dekolim v'she yisakru, that he knew different incantations through which a field would all of a sudden become full of trees, and the opposite as well, the ability to uproot a field of trees through some type of abracadabra, if you will. But let us not belittle these things for one second. We're talking about different forces that the Kodesh Baruch Hu created, known as Kochos HaTahara. There's another realm known as Kochos HaTuma, black magic, witchcraft, which is something that is of prohibited by the Torah. In fact, carrying with it some very severe penalties. But these things are referenced in numerous masechtas, how different chachamim possess different abilities, we'll say. Some would refer to as powers, but the powers are gained through extensive Torah learning. When one plummets to depths way beyond a simple poshet shat type of limud. Continuing in the Gemara, what else did he have control of? Vesichas malachei hashores. The Rashbam says lahashbiyam, that he knew how to bind angels through oath as well. Vedavar gadol, vedavar katan. The Gemara explains in the line that you see in a brackets. We've provided the brackets here only to show that this is an interruption on the part of the Gemara. Dover Godol equals Maisa Merkova. Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai understood the divine revelation that Yechezkel experienced, known as Maisa Merkova. The Dover Katan, a small matter, so to speak, everything relative, equals Havayos the Abaye Verova. Those matters that were brought into question by Abaye and Rava, issues that they debated. So Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai was aware of those issues as well. However, he answered them. He had clarity on those questions. L'kaye ma shenemar, after seeing the description of these great sages, we can understand the following. Lahanchil ohava yesh v'otzroseim amalei. To give unto those that love me, ohavai, those that love me, yesh. I'm going to give them yesh. Yesh is an abbreviation or a gematria indicating 310. 310 oilomois. 310 worlds. for our purposes, one should just realize that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is granting a reward to those who dedicate themselves to Torah, a reward of vast proportions. And why is that? Because of the Otsroseihem, their storehouses, they filled themselves with Torah and Chochmah. Amalei, I will fill them with reward. If the least of them is what we just saw in this lengthy list of expertise, Godol Shebekulam Alachas Kama Vakama. Can you imagine what the greatest of that group of Talmidim was? The Rashbam adds, Godol Shebekulam Alachas Kama Vakama Lahovin Dover Mitoch Dover Yoser Vyoser. You can just imagine the great depths of knowledge that the greatest of this group of Talmidim had achieved. Omru Alav al Yonasan ben Uziel, Mishal Sheyoshev Oisek b'Torah, was said regarding him that while he was engaged in Torah study, Kol Oif Sheparech Alav Nisraf, that every bird that flew overhead got burnt. Rashi in Maseches Sukkah explains they got burnt as a result of the angels of above gathering around to hear his Torah learning. Studying a section of Gemara like this involving our Chachomim should serve as inspiration for each one of us to appreciate the lofty heights that our leaders had achieved, both in the past and in the present as well. On the outside margin, as we encounter this new Mishnah, we've provided a topic heading, the Nosei, Ha'oimer Ze Bini, person who says, this son, O Ze Achi, this is my brother. Ha'im Ne'emon Olo, is he believed when he says that? Nafkamina legabi Yerusha, there's bearing of these comments regarding inheritance, and secondly, Yibum. The halachas concerning Yibum, which is a section of halacha that deals with a man who died, leaving no children, but leaving a brother. Hilchos Yibum says that the surviving brother is to marry this man's widow. In other words, a brother-in-law and sister-in-law will marry. Let's turn to the Mishnah. Ha'imer ze bini, ne'emon, ze achi, eino ne'emon. If someone declares some person, this is my brother, he, this new fellow, will not be able to inherit with the other brothers. That's the idea. Eino ne'emon, the speaker, is not believed to cause this, the fellow, the subject of his testimony, to inherit with the rest of the brothers. V'itoil im chalko. However, this suffix will refer to the new boy on the block, so to speak, as the suffix, the one concerning which one of the brothers testified, he will get a chelek of the brother that testified on his behalf. The Rashbam gives an example of this. We can see this inside. Vitel imo b'chelko kagoin im shnayim heim levad hasafek. If there were two brothers besides the one in question, v'yesh lahem lachlok gimel sodos, and there are three fields in this particular estate. Ze notel sado mechsa v'ze notel sado mechsa. The two known brothers, each one receives 1.5 fields. The noisein ze hamaid, skipping the brackets, hachatzi sode. The brother that was made, that testified concerning the suffix, claiming that he is a brother too, this Me'id will give one half of a field. Let's read that line again. V'noisein zeh ha-me'id al-ochiv ha-sofek shu ochiv ha-chatsi sadeh da-hochi ko'amar lei vaday achi ata, you are definitely my brother. V'yesh l'cho litol sadeh achas min ha-shalosh. In my opinion, you were deserving of receiving one of the three fields, because as far as I'm concerned, we are three brothers. V'chatsi ha-sadeh she'yesh li mechel kicho etein loch. A half of the field that really should be yours, I'll give it to you. The other half of the field that I think should be going to you is in his hands, in the other brother's hands. If you want that other half of your field, you'll have to bring proof to him that would satisfy him that you're a brother. The Mishnah continues. Mace. If the Sofek dies, Yachsru Nechosim Lemekoimon, the half field that he received will go back to the one that gave it to him. Naflu Loi Nechosim Mimokom Acher, if the Sofek brother received property from some outside source other than their father's estate, and then he died, then the Sofek died, Yirshu Echov Imo, the other brothers will be able to share in those properties that the Sofek received. And the reason for that is that the one brother testified, hey, he is a brother. That would thereby entitle the rest of them to benefit from this particular Sofek's properties upon his death. The Gemara opens up with a quote from the Mishnah, and we featured it in a frame because of its Tanaic nature. Ze b'ni ne'emon. L'ma hilchasa. What halachic bearing is there in knowing that a person is believed to say, this is my son? Amar Avido Mar Shmuel. 2 points. One, liyorsho, to inherit from the speaker. V'liftor es ishto min ha'yibum. And as a result, when this speaker dies, he'll be considered a man having died leaving a child. And as such, the widow does not do yibum. The Gemara asks, on Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, do I really need the Mishnah for these things? Liyorsho, pshita. As far as the father being believed and resulting in this boy, in this son, receiving an inheritance, that's obvious. Why is that obvious? If this father wanted to give him a gift of property, he could do that. So therefore, just like he has the power to give him a gift of property, when he says, this is my son, with the intent of, he says, this is my son, and he will inherit me, he's also going to be believed. So the Gemara answers, what do I need the Mishnah for? Liftor es ishto min ha'yibum. It's the richalei. I need the Mishnah for that purpose, to tell us that when a father says, this is my son, the widow, eventually, when she becomes a widow, she will not do yibum, because her husband left a son. The Gemara asks, ha'nami tanina. That particular point is also taught in Maseches Kiddushin. And it follows in this framed Tanaic section. Misha Omar b'sha'as misoso. Yesh li bonim ne'emon. I have sons, and therefore there'll be no yibum. He's believed. Yesh li achim. A man says, I have brothers, and thereby making the widow a woman in position to do yibum. So if he tells us, I have brothers, thereby binding the widow to yibum, eino ne'emon. The details of this
source will be discussed later. However, for our purposes, the question is, what do I need our Mishnah to tell me Zeh B'ni Ne'eman when the Mishnah in Kedushin teaches me the same thing? The Gemara answers, Hasam delo muchsuk lon ba'ach. The Mishnah in Kedushin describes a case where the deceased is not known to have a brother. So, being that he's not known to have a brother, when he dies, his wife is becheskas heter l'shuk. She enjoys a status of being able to marry whomever she wants. Therefore, the news that this is my son is in effect sustaining the chazoka that she already has, namely that she's allowed to marry anyone she wants, anyone that's mutter to her. Hacha, however, our case here, where we say Zeh B'ni Ne'eman, is going further. Af al gav de muchsuk le ba'ach. This father is believed to say, this is my son, even though the speaker is known to have a brother. The chiddush being that if he's known to have a brother, one could say that she was becheskas yibum. She had a status of having to do yibum. Then the speaker comes along and tells us that, well, he has a son. That would thereby undo this cheskas chiyuv yibum. And our Mishnah tells us that even so, he is believed. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us glance at our topic heading, no say. Al ma mevusos ne'emonus habal liftor ishto miyibum bi'oimroi zebini aliva d'shmuel. On what is the believability of the husband based when he says zebini, thereby exempting his wife from yibum, according to what Shmuel taught us? We have a mivneh note, a structural note. We feature Roman numeral 1 and 2. And the outside margin, we read our mivneh. The 1 and 2 are Shnei Lishonos B'divrei Shmuel. There are two versions of Shmuel. We've used a dotted underline, which will be seen later in the Gemara, featuring the word ho'il. Turning to the Gemara, Omar Rav Yosef, Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel. Bepnei ma omru ze beni ne'emon. Why is it that a father who declares, this is my son, he is believed? And we've mentioned already that the believability is such that the woman will be exempted from the chiyuv yibum. Ho'il, since Ubal shoma geirashti es ishti ne'emon. Since if a man says, I divorced my wife, of course a divorced woman doesn't do yibum. Once she's divorced, she's out of the picture as far as this family is concerned. Up to this point, we see Rav Yosef quoting Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel. Rav Yosef, as is reported in Maseches Nedarim, experienced a certain point in his life that he took ill, and as a result of that he forgot his learning, and things that were once clear to him became quite vague. Upon hearing that he said this halacha in the name of Yudah Mar Shmuel, Omar Rav Yosef, Morei d'Avram, it's an expression of wonderment, God of Abraham, Toli Tanya Bidolo Tanya. Is it possible that our Mishnah, which is of significant strength, a Mishnah is an important piece of literature, and our Mishnah says Zeh B'ni Ne'eman, could it be that our Mishnah is based on something Bidolo Tanya, something that's not a Mishnah, something that's of Amoraic nature, namely the Halacha that Baal Shomar Geirashti Es Ishti Ne'emon,
How could it be that the Iker is dependent on the Tofel? That which is of a main central nature is dependent on that which is of a subsidiary nature. So Rav Yosef, though he quoted Rav Yudah Mar Shmuel, had difficulty believing that that's what he ever said. Ela, I itmar hochi itmar. Rather, if Shmuel had ever said anything, it must have been as follows. Omar Shmuel, Mipnei ma omru ze bini ne'emon. Why is it that a father who says, this is my son, he's believed, and thereby there won't be yibum? Ho'il u'biyodo legarsha. Since he, the father, has a power to divorce his wife, thereby exempting her from yibum. Notice, of course, the explanation of our mission is not based on some Tanaic, some kind of Amoraic statement. It's based on a fact that since a man has the power to divorce his wife, thereby exempting her from yibum, therefore we can believe what he says, Zebini, also exempting her from yibum. Omar of Yosef, Hashta di Amris Amrinon Hoil. Now that we've established that we accept this legal phenomena known as Hoil, namely, since A, therefore we can say B. As we said, since he could divorce her, therefore we will believe him when he says Zebini. That having been said, another case. Baal Sheomar Geirashti Es Ishti. A husband that says, using the past tense, I divorced my wife. He is believed ne'eman to, he's believed to thereby exempt her from yibum. Ho'il ubi yodoi legarsha, since he could divorce her right now. We've double underlined the expression baal shema gerashis ishti because we're going to be making additional references to this particular case. So far, this was Rav Yosef's opinion that Baal Shomar Geirashi Es Ishti, a husband that says, using the past tense, I divorced my wife, we believe him at face value, and thereby she will be exempt from Yibum, because he has the power to divorce, he would have the power to divorce her right now. Ki also Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Omar Rav Yochanan, Baal Shomar Geirashi Es Ishti, Einoi Ne'emon. Well, that runs counter to what Rav Yosef said. Menapeach Rav Sheshes Biodei. Rav Sheshes made some type of hand movement, some type of gesture, indicating Ozale Hoyil to Rav Yosef. There goes the Hoyil of Rav Yosef. We've used arrows in the little space between the Gemara and the Tosis to indicate where the Hoyil was mentioned. Just you find the parallel arrow above. The Rashbam explains that the lack of believability is based on the phenomenon that accompanies divorces. Divorces are something that create a coil. People talk about it. It's something generally well known. If you have a situation where we didn't know about the divorce other than his testifying that I divorced my wife, and that's the first time we're discovering it, we'd ask ourselves, where was the coal? Where was the noise, so to speak, that surrounded that divorce? Therefore, since we the public were not knowledgeable of the divorce, other than what he's telling us now, therefore we don't believe him. The Gemara asks, "Eini v'ha'amar b'chiyah bar Abba amar b'yochanan baal shomar girashti es ishti ne'emon." Notice with our markings, we've featured Rabbi Yochanan in a diamond. We've also underlined Rabbi Yisrael Bar Yosef and Rabbi Chiyo Bar Oven, so as to present a case where you see there are two versions in what Rabbi Yochanan said. How are we to resolve this? Here, Rabbi Yochanan is reported as saying, one who says, Geirashti es Ishti, he is believed. As opposed to the previous opinion, and notice we used a squiggle underline under the eino word above, eino ne'emon, because that was the main point of emphasis. The Gemara says, lo kashya. We can resolve these two presentations of Rabbi Yochanan. Kan lemafrea, kan lehabo. When we say that a husband that says, I divorced my wife. Imagine we're holding at Aleph Iyar, the first of the month of Iyar. The month before Iyar is known as Nisan. You have a husband saying, I divorced my wife, Aleph Nisan. We will not believe this testimony with regard to her divorced status or her alleged divorce status from Aleph Nisan to Aleph Iyar. The legal outcome of that would be a situation where this woman was found engaged in immorality in the middle of the month of Nisan. If the beginning of Iyar, he tells us, I divorced her a month ago, and there was no kol to that effect, as far as we're concerned, she's still an Eishes Ish until today. However, and it's of course noteworthy that if she's still an Eishes Ish, therefore, if she engaged in immorality 2 weeks before he speaks, she'll be guilty. Chayev Mises Bezdin, Mises Chenik. Chayev capital offense. Kan lehabo, that means that what this man says, I divorced my wife. Let's use a slightly different example in this particular case, where he says, I divorced my wife without using dates. So, he will be believed with regard to her divorce status from today onwards. Ibaya laho. Omar lemafreya. Mahu lehemune lehabo. What would the halacha be with regard to a man who says, I divorced my wife a month ago. Can we believe him? Namely, would she be considered divorced from today onwards? In the case we saw just before, where we said, from today onwards, he's believed, that's a case where he said, I divorced my wife, stam. I divorced my wife using the past tense, but didn't indicate when. What about a case like we just described, where he said, I divorced my wife a month ago? So we know that with regard to all the time from today backwards, he's not believed. Can we take his information and split it? Namely, that she's divorced, yes, but not with regard to the time frame. The Gemara asks, Mi palginon dibura oiloi palginon dibura? Do we split his expression, his testimony, or not? Do we believe him regarding that she is divorced without regarding the time frame, without saying that she's divorced lemafreya? This is known, once again, as palginon dibura. Do we split his expression? Rav Mori, Rav Zvid. Chad omar palginon, v'chad omar lo palginon. You have two amoroyim, and they argue whether we will accept his testimony with regard to today onwards. The Gemara asks, "My shna mi derava? Why should this case be any different than the case of Rava, where in the case that Rava will describe, we clearly say palginon dibura?" So let's learn the case and then raise the question again. The Omar Rava. A man testifies as follows. Ish ploni bo al ishti. he says a certain man had relations, marital relations, with my wife, who the acher, the husband, and one other, mitzarfin, join up to form a unit of two witnesses, lehorgoi, lehorgoi velo lehorgo. Their testimony will in effect result in the paramour's death at the hands of the court, but not the woman's death. Immorality in this, of this nature, of extramarital relations, carries with it a Torah death penalty. The result of this din of Rava is we accept the husband with regard to what he said regarding the paramour, the lover, but we don't accept what he said with regard to the woman, namely his wife. He can't be made on his wife because of the prohibition of relatives testifying one for the other. In other words, what does Rava suggest? Pagino dibure. So why in the case of Rava do we activate that legal mechanism called pagino dibure, where we split his comment? And in the case involving, I divorced my wife a month ago, is there an opinion that says we don't believe him with regard to from today onwards? In other words, well, we don't say palginon dibure. The Gemara answers, betray gufi palginon. When it comes to two separate people, we can split the testimony. Namely, we have testimony regarding the paramour, the lover. That's viewed as a separate unit of testimony because it's referring to a separate person. And we don't accept the testimony with regard to the other person, namely the man's wife. However, bechad gufa lo paginan. When it comes to testimony concerning one individual, namely this woman, is she divorced or not? And to say that this one woman is, well, not divorced with regard to the past, but yes, divorced with regard to the future, that we cannot do. That's too novel an idea to say we'll split the testimony when it concerns the very same individual. With that, we complete our shiur for today.